Blog Talk Radio. With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Well, let's see. Well, I decided to do the show at 6 p.m. Because I have callers that want to call in a little bit earlier. Last week, I did the show on Tuesday, and I did that from the Mohegan Sun Casino and Resort, or Resort and Casino, whichever you want to call it. And now I'm doing it from my home. Yes, my home. I'm doing it from my home. It's a really crowded. Well, the weather is so hot. Man, I don't know where it is around your, wherever you are, but it's been hot for days here. I guess this was a little more tolerable. While I was up in Mystic, I was using the Gust Buster umbrella, the one that's a combination of a sun umbrella. It's also a walking stick, and it has a seat, and it's also for the rain, withstanding 55-mile-an-hour winds. The problem is, if I'm having trouble walking, I don't know whether to lower it or raise it, you know. But it certainly worked. Yeah, yesterday I went outside and it's like 10 degrees cooler, not totally, but like my head was felt at least 10 degrees cooler. We're going to talk about, pure vanilla. I always wonder about, like, vanilla extracts, you know, what are they, you know, whether they're real, you know, stuff like that. And also that, surprisingly, they're not used just for, like, a sweet dessert. And so Matt Nielsen of Nielsen Massey Vanillas is going to be calling in to talk to us about the different types of vanilla, and some ideas for using it in recipes. Then coffee talk. Yes. All these organic coffees. There was a whole thing about fair trade organic coffees, and so I got some samples of them. And so we're going to have some of the companies calling in to talk about the differences, where they're from, you know, and stuff like that. Now, to make it even easier, right here at my desk, I made coffee, iced coffee, and I put some of the vanilla powdered vanilla in it. That's why I combined the two of them. How's that? Then, also, while I was up near Mohegan Sun, I went to a place called the Spa at Norwich Inn in Norwich. And what a place! If I get a chance, we'll be talking about that too. But we're going to be talking about the spa itself, where I had gotten a facial. So what I want to discuss is like what exactly were the steps, et cetera, that went into getting this facial. You know, like I get a facial and you feel, at least I felt like, you know, like something was being put on my face, something was being taken off my face, just kept going back and forth, you know. And so we're going to discuss, like, all the things and why that particular one was chosen for me. Okay, I just got an email of someone who's calling in a little later, who's letting me know what phone number they're calling in by, calling in on, and really it doesn't matter. I'll, you know, I just see the phone numbers on my switchboard, and you know, I just open up the mics. You don't know what the fuck they're gonna say. Yeah, worse the worst. You know, one of the things with the switchboard is that if I get a caller and I just totally don't want them to be talking or listening, there's actually things that I can have them hang up as opposed to just not, you know, open up their mic. I haven't done it yet. No, I did. I did that once. But anyway, so as I'm waiting for Matt to call, so this spa, this was great. Now, Norwich Inn is the inn part of it. The inn part of the inn. The inn. And it's actually, well, not the spa. I did the land, I believe, is owned by whoever owns Foxwoods. I don't know which of the Indian tribes that owns it, but they own that land. And I guess from what I understand, instead of designating to have another casino on that property, they designated to have a business on the property. That's not a casino, I guess. Okay, but so part of it is, you know, in terms of the inn, there's the main building, which has a whole bunch of great rooms. They're wonderful, and then I think they have villas as well. And so I stayed in one of the rooms, and they have a real great line of spa facilities at the inn, and I'm told, like, if you don't want to stay over, this is what I got. If you don't want to stay over, if you book a spa treatment, any spa treatment or class, and pay for that, it costs like around $20 to use the spa facilities, which is like the sauna, the steam room, the pool. They have a relaxation room. And also if you're there, you know, during the day, there's they have tea, high tea, I guess, at 4 p.m. No, 3. They do it at 3. They do the tea and where they have tea and scones. Oh, really delicious scones. They're not like those triangular kind. They're like kind of round and a little, you know, it's softer. And then they have a wine tasting, and I think that was like they have a wine tasting like 5 o'clock. So when I was there, there was cheeses as well. I don't know if they usually do, but they have wine tasting. And the cool thing about this place, what I notice is that except for having dinner at the restaurant at Kensington, and I'm not sure whether it was the same for the other restaurant, because they have two of them, the Alcott, I think, or I'm not looking at my notes here, but that's the more pubbish-like restaurant. Anyway, people are just walking around in their robes the whole time. The outside, there's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous gardens, and it's really very serene. It's really great. So and what's also good? I mean, let's say Now, if you're going, let's say if you want to go to Mohegan Sun and it's booked, overbooked or whatever, it's a lot less, this is what I'm getting, a lot less expensive to spend the night at the spa, which is, I can't tell mileage. I mean, it's pretty close. It's not a mile away, but it's pretty close. So that would be an opportunity. Although, because Foxwoods kind of owns the property, on the weekends, there's a, what I believe, a free shuttle bus to go to Foxwoods. Now, isn't that cool? I mean, you know, you get, it's not as if, well, although on the weekends, I think they have like a piano player or something like that. So, like, if you had enough, if just in case if you had enough serenity, which I can never get enough of, and I don't mean this, you know, serenity as in the pads you use because you, you know, in case you pee in your pants. If you had enough of feeling serene, you could always go to Foxwoods and you know, see a show. And also gamble, you know how we all, we gamble until we lose. You know we do that, right? I mean, you know, you sit down and you gamble until you've lost your money. Unless you really win a lot. But, you know, that's the way it goes. Mohegan Sun, when I was at Mohegan Sun, okay, I have to, like, kind of tell you that I did play blackjack, and it said Spanish 21, and I don't know. My friend and I thought that you needed to know Spanish in order to play. I didn't know there was a. Okay, it was just different different rules, and thank goodness we had a really great guy behind the table explaining everything to us. And I'm going, he's going, no, you can't tap that. No, you can't touch the mic. No, you can't do that. No, you can't. You do this. You do this when you don't want it. I mean, I have a feeling like the who's ever, you know, up there at the security, if they were able to listen to this or see this, they were probably like laughing, you know. But that's okay. I don't know what's happened. Let me just check something here. Let's see. This is the best thing to do. Let's see. M-A-S-S. Why, let's see. Well, according to this, all right. He said it's 6 p.m. That's what they're getting. Right, Matt Nielsen is available on Thursday, August 20th at 6 p.m. and says that he will call at 6 p.m. and he hasn't. Shame, shame. Well, I don't know. I mean, I wanted to really kind of get into the discussion about using one of the things that I was kind of wondering particularly is about the powder vanilla, which it's vanilla, but it also has maltodextrin or something, whatever kind of thing in it. Not sure why. I guess there must be a reason that it has to have something other than just, you know, vanilla, powdered vanilla, just the way, like, you know, when you get powdered sugar, there's like there's some little bit of cornstarch in it, you know, that kind of a thing. So I was kind of wondering about that. One of the things that I, well, let me just take a sip here. Good coffee. Good coffee. One of the things I was wondering about was in making an ice cream. And can I just use, I've never had, I mean, like, I'm not one to have vanilla ice cream. but I'd be curious because what I'll do is I'll make a vanilla ice cream and maybe put some of the Merino cherries on it or something like that. Yeah. Mmm, ice cream. But, well, okay. Speaking of chocolate, no, I didn't speak of chocolate, but I got to have my chocolate.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
And you're going to go to brownies.com for that. Wow, it's been a while. And, oh, you know, I think, I'm not sure, but November is when they have the chocolate show in New York, and I just might be away. Oh, well, there'll probably be chocolate where I'm going. And speaking of where I'm going, well, I'm going to have a banjo on my knee in a couple of weeks because I'm going to Alabama. I'm going to Alabama for Travel Media Showcase. And what happens there is that I have appointments with different places, tourism places. Some that I've absolutely never even heard of. I mean, there's one that says Houma, H-O-U-M-A, the Houma CVB in Louisiana. Is going to be there. You know, I guess people, you all live in some place, so you all, you know, probably like if I name these places, you'll know it. But I guess the thing with the Houma one, what they do when they list who they're interested in, you know, the types of publications or whatever, and this one in Houma listed gay and lesbian. I mean, I've never even heard of the place. I can't wait to find out how gay friendly they are, or what would draw people. I'm sorry. I don't know, people who are not gay. What would it draw? You know, heck, you know, you just never know. But when I'm down there, so what's going to happen is at first I'm going to be in Montgomery for a few days, and then I'm off to Birmingham for a few days. And I'm going to get my fill, absolute fill of soul food, and not the kind that, like, that got introduced with the jerk chicken and stuff like that, but the real Southern style soul food. Okay, grits. I'm not big on, I don't know, I'm not much on grits, although I did go to Montgomery once and I had cheese grits. Pretty much the other things, I mean, not having to do with it. I mean, I just not want to have, like, ham hocks. It's just, you know, not my thing. Collard greens I will. Collard greens I will, because somebody else will make them, and it'll taste not so bad. And meaning bad, meaning, you know, like, collard greens should be made the bitter herb for Passover, you know what I mean? So I'm sure they'll be making it so that it'll be pretty tasty. What I'm going to do, actually, is I'm going to wind up doing two shows while I'm down there. I'm going to do one show from the Renaissance Hotel in Montgomery, and then I'm going to do a second show a few days later at the Renaissance Hotel in Birmingham. And so that'll be really cool, because I think the one I'm going to do in Montgomery, I'm going to get a hold of tourism people and, you know, just pick like six of them and probably have them come up to my room or suite or whatever I have and you know, have them chat. So, well, I think we're going to be doing a little talking right now. We finally have somebody called in. I don't know what happened to who do I have? You're on the air.
Hi, Meryl. This is Sylvia Cavelli from True Oregon.
Oh, good.
Coffee.
I'm so glad you called in. My vanilla person never called in. That's okay.
Oh.
So, yeah, what I want to discuss, I mean, I didn't have an opportunity to go to the, I guess, the showcase of various coffees, I guess, organic. I believe they were all organic and fair trade. Is that what this whole thing was about?
Are you making reference to the coffee collaboration event that was held in New York? Yeah. All the coffees were organic. It was also hosted by the Organic Trade Association. So all coffees there were organic, and some of it were fair trade as well.
Okay. So what I want to do is to talk about, like, you know, basically the subject of is coffee. You know, coffee is not coffee. In other words, it's like, I guess, growing grapes, wine, that's like growing, you know, having wine and all the grapes can be different, et cetera, et cetera. So just because, you know, it's, you know, coffee, it doesn't going to be tasting the same. So I want to talk about, like, where's your coffee from? The True Organic origin.
Okay. So, well, our coffee is True Origin Coffee, and we have two amazing regions of origins that are located in Colombia, South America.
Mm-hmm.
So, what we do in our company is that we do not believe in blends. Like most coffee in the markets that you find are blends. So instead, we turned to single origin. That the best relationship that I can make is two wines. So it's like 100% of our beans come from one small premier growing region.
Right.
And our coffee has the terroir or the specific regional flavor of that place. So so that way we don't blend it with other beans of other qualities or beans of other regions. So in our case, we have two regions that are called Santa Marta and Tierra Dentro.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like the two top growing regions for organic coffee. And both of our regions of origins are 100% organic. And this is why we were also collaborating with this event in New York to create more awareness to the public about the importance of consuming organic coffee versus, you know, just mass market coffee.
And what do you think? Do you think that it makes a difference in terms of taste?
Well, I think the main difference is it's for the environment. I think that's the one that wins like the most because with organic coffee, it's not only that no pesticides or chemicals are used throughout the entire like process of the coffee, so the soils are kept clean. But also, there's no contamination of the water sources.
Right.
So that's like the biggest like influence. You know, the biggest like would be like for the environment, but also like health wise, like them. You know, the coffee that you're drinking do not contain like any you know chemicals or pesticides on it. Actually, I will say that for, like, in our case, like, from True Origin Organics Coffee, our coffee is 100% shade grown, and that is even, like, a bigger, you know, that is very related with being organic. Sometimes they, in order to do the coffee plantation, some of the trees in the forest are taken down. So when a coffee is shade grown, what it means is that all the trees from the forest were left intact, and the coffee plants grow naturally under the native trees, and that's what shade grown means. And I think that is, like, you know, a very important point that consumers need to know when they choose like the coffee that is, you know, organic and shade grown.
Oh, okay. Now, when you're sending the, you're also roasting the beans before you send it out. Am I correct?
Yeah. This is it's very new the way we're doing it, because we are roasting and packaging the beans in Colombia, so at country of origin. So we believe that has two benefits. One is in quality, because, you know, like, Colombia has a culture for, like, you know, coffee perfection, and the expert, like, coffee, like, the roast masters are there, like, roasting the coffee. So that's one point. But then the second point is, from a social perspective, it's very good because it creates wealth at country of origin, not only, like, you know, for the people, for the roasting people, for the packaging people, like, at the packaging facility. They are all, like, head of household women that pack the coffee. You know, same with transportation and all the other things that are involved in the manufacturing of the coffee. Usually, like, historically, what happens is that underdeveloped countries, what we do is that we will sell, like, the raw product. You know, in this case, like, the green beans. And then the entire, like, manufacturing of the product and the branding procedure happens at the final country, you know, the final, like, point of sale. So when happens that way, like, more than 90% of the entire, like, profits of the chain stay at the final sale country, and less than 10% stay actually at the country of origin. So the way we're doing it, it allows about 40% of the entire, like, profit chain to stay at country of origin. So
right.
That's also, like, you know, from the social perspective, we're very happy to be doing it that way. So when the coffee arrives to the U.S., it's already, you know, roasted and packed. We do roast it by demand, like, when we get the orders, in order to keep it, like, you know,
right,
as fresh as possible.
So when you say, just in terms of terminology, when you say the green beans, in other words, that's what's the terminology, meaning that that's what they are before they're roasted? Okay.
Yeah, but you are correct. That's the terminology that we use.
Are they actually green? I mean, they're just...
Yeah, you know, they have, like, olive green, light olive green color, I'll say. So... It's after the milling of the coffee. So when you mill the coffee,
right,
that's what we call the green beans, and that's how, like, for example, in the from Colombia, that is a coffee country, more than 99% of all the coffee that is exported to other countries, it goes in green, so as green beans.
Now, in terms of roasting process, when you say, like, if someone, it's medium roast or dark roast, is it the amount of time that they're roasted, and how does it make a difference in taste?
Okay. It's a combination of time and heat. So the roast masters have what they call, like, the roasting curve. So they have, like, different, you know, like, different temperatures that they have to last for a different amount of, you know, like, seconds or minutes, and then that will finally, like, decide, like, what's the, you know, if the roasting is, like, more light, medium, or dark. What happens is that the roast masters, that what they do with the roasting is try to get the most out of the best characteristic, like, flavor characteristics of the coffee. So in that matter, it's very important that that the Roastmasters like know very well the origin of the beans, so that they know, you know, like the cup profile, like what are those beans, like what is the, from that region, like the specific, like, you know, flavor and aroma notes, and that way they can roast it, like, you know, to the perfect point. But yeah, at the end, like, you know, when you see it on the shelf, what it translates is, you know, what is most commonly known is the light, the medium, and the dark roast. And in general terms, yeah, in order to be dark roast, then, you know, the coffee will stay longer time in, you know, being roasted and on higher, under higher temperatures.
But in terms of taste, does that mean that the coffee is stronger if it's a dark roast?
I have to say that you can, it will be more intense, but, you know, you will get like more of a, I guess people call it like a strong, but for example, with very high quality coffees, it's not recommended to roast it very dark, because what happens is like when you go to a very dark point, like for example, like the French roast, sometimes what you do with that dark roast is that you hide some of the good qualities of the coffee. You know, if you roast it too dark, then you're not able to get all the flavor, and you just sometimes you get like more of a burnt taste. So
right.
Many experts recommend, like, you know, that with very good quality beans, it's not as recommended to go, you know, to very dark roasting types, but I guess the people that like the dark roasting is looking for that, you know, what you were saying before, that, like, you know, that different flavor that, from my point of view, is like, you know, could be, like, more, yeah, intense.
Now, describe the two particular coffees that you were talking about.
Okay, so the one that we have that is medium dark roast. It's from Sierra Nevada of Santa Marta.
Mm-hmm.
That is a region located in the north coast of Colombia. And it is it's an amazing ecosystem because it's a world biosphere reserve. And it's a place that harbors over 36 rivers and more than 250 different, like, species of amphibious and reptiles. So it's very unique place. It is the highest coastal peak in the world, and this land is inhabited by the Arhuacos indigenous community, and they actually called that land the heart of the world, because it is their belief that the health of that particular mountain controls the health of the universe. So the way we see it is that this coffee grows in harmony with their harvesting techniques, and also in harmony with the environment that is surrounding, you know, this unique ecosystem. And that is our Santa Marta coffee. That is our, you know, what we call like our dark roast.
Right.
And then we have Tierra Dentro. Tierra Dentro, it's roasted to a medium roast, roasting point. And Tierra Dentro in Spanish, the translation to English would be like land within. And this is actually the name that Spanish gave to the region when they arrived, because they couldn't penetrate it due to the rough topography. It's like very huge elevated peaks and deep canyons. And among all that, very high in the mountain, the coffee grows, as I was saying before, it is shade grown. So you will see it's an amazing view where you will see the coffee plants growing under orange trees or avocado trees or, you know, whatever is particular or native to that specific place. And
now, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So let's just say I was doing a tasting of these two particular coffees. And just in terms of taste, what would I notice about each of them?
Okay. So each one of them, even though both of them are Colombian, that's important to put in there, because Colombian coffee is very rich but still smooth. So, and 100% of the beans are Arabica. That's the name of the plant that grows, the coffee plants that grow in Colombia and in general in Latin America.
Right.
But these two places have very unique cup profile. Like for Tierra Dentro, the way experts have described the cup profile is that it has like distinct hints and remarkable notes of caramel. So for them, that's how, like, that's the main differentiation that they see in these days in this coffee. And also because it grows high in the mountains, then it has a higher level of acidity. Sometimes people will confuse acidity with bitterness. Actually, bitterness is bad, and acidity is a very good quality of the coffee that is not, you know, again, to be confused with bitterness. So instead, the one in the Sierra Nevada of Santa Marta, it has is a very balanced flavor with the distinct hints that experts like find in this coffee are more like chocolate and walnuts.
Right.
And this coffee has a very plain, it's very like round cup. It has no acidity at all. So some people will find it like more attractive, and other people will just, you know, again, the comparison with wines is coffees is as open, you know, and as big as wines regarding taste. So some people will really like coffees that grow high in the mountains because of the level of acidity, and because the coffee of Tierra Dentro also has very like fruital notes because of the trees that are surrounding the coffee plants. Coffee is the most aromatic product in the world, and what happens with coffee is that coffee absorbs very easily what's around it. So sometimes, depending on what, you know, like fruital trees are around the coffee plantations, then the coffee gets some of its flavor, you know, like deep inside the beans.
Now, I understand, by the way, I mean, I don't know, do you have, when it's espresso coffee, what does that mean?
Okay. Espresso coffee means, well, first, in order to do espresso coffee, you will have to get, like, very dark beans. So very the roasting point recommended for to do espresso is a very dark roasting point. And then it's a special procedure where, like, you know, it's concentrated. So there is, like, you know, it's not as diluted with water as it can be, like, you know, what is normally known as an American coffee.
Right.
So that's the main difference. And the other is that it's made with, you know, usually with French roast beans, and some experts would claim that Robusta beans are better than Arabica. Arabica,
mm-hmm.
again, are the, you know, the coffee plants that grow in Latin America, and Robusta are, you know, more specific from other countries. But I think that's, you know, that's the main difference that, you know, from, I mean, I want to say I'm not a roasting expert, so,
right.
but that's, you know, that's my understanding.
I heard that in terms of having an espresso coffee, that although it's stronger, there's less acid. Do you know that, whether that's true or, you know, what that's about?
No, sorry. I'm not.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know that answer. can find out, though.
I get it. Now, were you at the event, by the way?
Yes, I was. Yeah. I'm the founder for True Origin Organics, and you know, I was
okay.
there.
At the event, were people going around like doing coffee tastings?
Yes. We, like, I guess in total, I'll say we were 7 companies. And we were, each company had a table, and we had, you know, each of us brew our coffee, and we're giving to different reporters, like, you know, a taste for the coffee, as well as, you know, any other, like, you know, information or, you know, brochures from the company, and,
right.
you know, answer any questions that they had. But, yeah, it was, I will say, like, just, you know, as a wine tasting, I will say this was a coffee tasting you know, what really happened at the coffee collaboration event in New York.
Now, what would you say is like would be the most proper way to taste coffee? I mean, like, I've gone to like wine tastings, and there's a whole ritual and things like that. Is there some type of ritual or procedure to tasting coffee?
I'll say like sometimes people ignore the most obvious thing, and is the water that you use when you brew your coffee.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, more than 90% of the coffee
is water,
you know. So sometimes if you use tap water or water that has a specific, like, some smell or taste on it, then you're going to, doesn't matter, you know, what quality coffee you're using. So the first recommendation is, when possible, use, you know, filter or spring water.
Right.
And
of course, the water in New York is good, so I guess you probably didn't have to, did you?
Well, at the event, all of us, like, use, like, yeah. Anyway, like, you know, like, filter water. So,
yeah.
But, you know, just that's yeah, it really depends.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The other thing is the measurement, I mean, what the amount of coffee that you use per the cup of water. Like, every coffee, I mean, some coffees are the same regarding how much coffee you use per cup of water, but other coffees require more or less. So always, like, read the instructions and do it, you know, to do it like as the coffee says, so you don't get like a watery coffee or maybe like a, you know, too strong. And then obviously you can always adjust that to taste. But then, and ideally, do not put it like into, if you can use a French press instead of an automatic drip, in my concept, it's better. Because with the automatic drip, you know, as the hot water goes through the plastic, you know, of the machine, then, you know, some experts claim that there's a flavor left out in the coffee. So with the French press, it's just, you know, glass, and then you get it like more of a pure taste that way. And then when you pour it out, just try to use a cup, again, that is not plastic and strong, and that would be like, you know, and you know, the best recommendations that I can give. Stay away from plastic, and when possible, use a fresh French press to make it, to brew it. Oh, and again, another thing, I'm sorry, the grinding, because many people like to buy, like, whole bean. Like, we have it, like, whole bean and ground available so that people can choose what they want to bring home. But when you buy whole bean, just, you know, make sure the grinding that you're doing is the right one for the, you know, for the brewing that you're going to do, you know, when it's, like, for automatic drip. It's a medium grind, and then if you're gonna be using an espresso machine, you need to grind it very fine. So that's also, like, you know, it might be like a common reason of why the coffee will not taste, you know, as good.
Right. Now, I had heard, I mean, that in terms of tasting coffee, you shouldn't put anything in it when you taste coffee, like.
I couldn't agree more with that. Yeah, I'm a true believer that, I mean, coffee is, you know, is what it is. And is the way, actually, like, you know, if you go to, like, the Quality Q coffee graders, those are, like, the international coffee judges, or if you go to any event at the SCA, the Specialty Coffee Association of America, everybody that you're going to see doing any cup tasting or you know, anything at all related to the coffee, you're going to see them, like, drinking it black, because that's the only way that you can really, like, taste, like, you know, all, like, you know, the real notes, the real flavor. For me, it's like, it's the same with wines. Like, if you get a good glass of wine and put some milk and sugar on it, it's gonna be something else, not wine.
Right.
So, but yeah, but again, you know, that goes to personal taste. So it's very common that people, like, will put something. So when I'm giving people like to taste the coffee, what I tell them is just have a sip before you put your things on it. And, you know, and people learn, you know, that way I can tell them a little bit about, you know, about the coffee, especially like if you're dealing with a very high quality coffee, or in the case of our coffee, like True Origin is rated as a specialty coffee. So, you know, for those coffees, it's even more important to, you know, to have it like just, you know, black.
Okay. Yeah. Let me see who we got. I think we have another, it would be great for all of us to talk. Do I have another coffee company here?
Yes, this is Helen Russell, co-owner of Equator Coffee in California.
Oh, okay. This is great because then we can kind of discuss like different types of beans or whatever.
Sure.
So, I don't know how much you got to listen.
I didn't hear much other than black coffee at the end.
Oh, okay. So tell me, what's the coffee that you had?
I think I sent you our Cause coffee, which is the Cheetos blend, which is the young woman from Zimbabwe that we're doing a project with.
Right.
Tanzania.
Okay.
So that's one of our blends.
Okay, and are these coffees also from Colombia or?
No, you know what? This particular Cheetos blend is a blend of coffee from Africa, Colombia, and Sumatra. So we've got Rwanda, Zimbabwe, Ethiopia.
Wow.
And then for a little bit of body, we've got some Sumatra and some Colombia. So you've got a real full-bodied, fruity, with fruit highlights. It's very popular.
So in other words, like, all right. So we're looking at coffees. I guess it's the same thing, I suppose, like when you're dealing with chocolate, it's, you know,
right,
when you're getting the cacao beans, you know, they're different places.
Right.
So now here's the coffee beans this is a lot from like Africa. Is that
Well, you know what? Think about a coffee roaster as sort of the executive chef. And
right,
they are buying beans from all over the world, you know, South America, Central America, Indonesia, Kona,
right,
Java, Africa. And, you know, they're putting together, you know, what we do is we put together signature blends that are our blends, whether
okay,
it be the Beachcomber, the Jaguar, or if we're doing a private, for example, you're in New York, correct?
Right.
My favorite place, New York?
Yep.
I'm from Boston, so.
Oh, you're from Boston.
I'm from Boston, and Brooke is from Manhattan, and Maureen is from the Bronx, so we're all East Coast gals.
Oh, that's where I grew up. I grew up in the Bronx.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, Maureen, my VP, grew up in the Bronx. So
really?
We started
okay,
this company 15 years ago. So, you know, getting back to the blend, so Brooke is the executive chef, and, for example, like she put together a private blend for Thomas Keller, per se. And so she sits with him, and she takes coffees from different origins, understands what his tastes and preferences are, and comes up with several blends, and then he tastes them. He says, I like it. So it's very subjective. It's very it depends on sort of what her sensibility is.
So as opposed to, in other words, with the True Origins, we were talking about that they're not blends, but with yours they are blends.
Well, you know what? We have some, you know, some people want to buy single origins.
Right.
You might go online and buy the Sumatra. Someone else might go online and buy the Kona. Some might like Colombian. And
mm-hmm,
then we also have coffees that we blend together for our particular, our audience out here. So you can have blends and you can have single origins. Like today this morning I had some coffee from Nicaragua. So that was a single origin coffee from one of our relationships, and, you know, every day we take coffee home and we taste it. And then tomorrow I might have the Zulu, which is a French roast with three different coffees in it.
Don't you freak out from the caffeine?
You know what? I'm drinking green tea right now, but now I'm down to one cup a day, and in the afternoon when we're cupping coffee, we actually have to spit it out now.
Oh, so you can spit it out like when you're doing a wine tasting,
exactly,
huh?
Yeah, exactly like tasting wine, correct.
I wanted to do like a quick note
sure,
on the single origin point. Is that some people confuse single origin with country specific. So for the case of Colombia, like just by saying Colombian coffee,
yep,
we do not believe that is a single origin. inside Colombia, we have over 100 different growing regions, some of them very high quality, others don't. And each region has a very particular flavor, and that's when I was doing the comparison with the wine for the terroir of that particular place.
Right.
So in our case, like, that's why we have, like, you know, like Santa Marta and Tierra Adentro, they're like two small regions.
Mm-hmm.
In Colombia, so like it would be more like single state, probably would be like another word that people could you know, they start getting more familiar with that concept. So just, you know, I just wanted to make that point.
Oh,
so
sure.
Are you from Colombia, or where are you from?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm the founder of the company, and I'm actually from Colombia.
Uh-huh. We buy some wonderful coffee from the Huila region called San Agustin.
Yeah, very close. That's close to Tierra Adentro.
Uh-huh, and it's a beautful cup, and we love our coffee from Colombia.
Now, if I was doing a tasting, I mean, just as the common person,
yes,
I wouldn't probably know, like, where it came from, right?
You know, it would depend. If we put on the table a Colombian for you and we put on the table an Ethiopian for you and we said, you know, one of them is going to have more fruit notes, you would be able to pick out the Ethiopian.
Oh, okay. So it's like with wines, like
exactly.
That kind of a thing.
Yep.
Okay, so in other words, if I was given sort of a description of what
exactly
made it different, then
right.
I would like to,
you would
know,
be able to pick
as
it out,
opposed
exactly.
to say, I like this or I don't like. I mean, actually, in tasting coffees, you have to have it done exactly all kind of the same way. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah,
if you're
you
going
to
do
in terms of tasting and putting out on the table. Is that what
right.
you mean? Yes, exactly.
Yeah, there is a procedure, like specific procedure for that, in order for you to have, like, you know, like all the cups, like, you know, in the same, they were brewed the same way, they have the same amount at
right.
every cup, so it's...
Oh, good line thing here. So the woman who's speaking, I'm sorry, I don't know, you have your own farm in Colombia,
yeah,
or you have a roasting company?
No, we have both. I mean, we have everything. We have, it's True Origin Organics. That's the name of the company.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And the brand name as well.
Yep.
And we have this relationship with the indigenous and the farming communities in Colombia. Mm-hmm. We have an office in Colombia, and we buy the beans, and we have all the roasting and packaging process at Country of Origin, which is, again, Colombia.
Right.
And then here in the U.S., we have True Origin Organics, which is a U.S.-based U.S. company that does the importation and distribution. So it's the entire, you know, process. And now we have the coffee available, you know, in the natural source.
Yeah. So with the having the combinations of you know, from different places, now, do you like when you blend? I mean, do you actually blend a bean? I'm just saying a blean bean. If you're like a Sumatra and something else, I mean, would you
absolutely.
Okay, so you could, yeah.
For example, our house blend, our Equator house blend, has a blend of Ethiopia, Colombia, Guatemala, and Sumatra.
Wow.
And different percentages of those coffees, and then you apply a roast style. And this happens to be a high medium that we do on this particular blend.
So what you're doing is like you're like, again, like the executive chef, and
correct.
You're saying, oh, let's take this and this and this, try blending this, see how this tastes.
Exactly.
Yeah, this tastes. And then when you get what you want, you say, this combination tastes great, this combination tastes great, you know, and things like that.
Exactly. And then you have your signature profiles that you go out into the world with and, you know, offer to different restaurants, cafes, and different chefs throughout the country.
Now, when I'm seeing the samples that I got, am I going to see these packages in the stores, or am I going to see... Like, you know, I happen to be at Starbucks and getting something.
No, Starbucks has its own roasting facilities, one on the West Coast and one on the East Coast. So, so they are a roaster, as we are a roaster. So
okay.
You would not see our coffee, Equator Coffee, at a Starbucks store. If you went up to Time Warner and you went up to Bouchon on the third floor, they retail our coffee because we sell them coffee wholesale. So
right.
They will have several different coffees available there. We don't have any coffee right now in any stores on the East Coast because of the freshness issue. We can't really turn them. But out here on the West Coast, nearby at Whole Foods, you can buy our coffee retail.
Okay. So in other words, what I'm asking then is
sure.
When I'm looking at the coffee samples that I've been getting,
yes.
I mean, I looked at them and I went, well, I've never seen these in the stores, right?
Right, right.
So in our case, for Puritan Organics, then, in New York, you're able to find it in the, I don't know if you know them, the Garden of Eden stores.
Right. So, in other words, I'm going to find these kind of coffees in like Whole Foods.
Exactly. These are boutique coffees.
Do any of them get picked up like by Trader Joe's and make it their own name?
You know what? I actually know the roasting company that works with Trader Joe's. So
uh-huh.
they have their own line. There's a roaster here in the Bay Area that roasts the private label for Trader Joe's.
Right.
But for example, if the VP of Trader Joe's, you know, went into had True Origins or had Equator and said, hey, you know what, I want to offer this as a boutique handcrafted coffee on the shelf, you know, that's a superior product to what I'm currently selling because I'm tired of people going over to Whole Foods to buy coffee. I want them to buy some of our micro lots.
Right.
So he could call either of us and say, you know, would you mind putting the coffee in the store? So it's like chocolate. You've got Hershey's and you've got Michel Cuisel and you've got everything in between.
Right, right.
So we are on the upper end, and the reason why we're on the upper end is because, you know, we have these relationships with the farmers, and that's part of our sort of a sustainability model in terms of how we work. So, for example, we've got 50 bags of coffee from Costa Rica, microlot, that Emilio put together that just has our name on the bags, Equator, and that's just for us. So
right.
We're able to offer to our customers here on the West Coast that want to have something that nobody else has.
Do you happen to have any decaffeinated coffee?
We have great decaf.
Would you do me
a I didn't send you any decaf.
No, and I have to tell you, I mean, I shake. I love the taste and the smell of coffee, absolutely.
Right.
And if I have coffee with caffeine, I mean, I shake. And I say to myself, girl, you did it again. You keep thinking you can have a cup of coffee, and
but
you
it's
can't.
It's too much. It's too much.
And although I think, I remember something about in terms of tasting coffee.
Right.
That you kind of like not you don't swish it like you do with wine because it's too damn hot.
You have to let it cool down there.
And what you do is you kind of sip it with the air and through your teeth or something.
Sure, you sort of aerate it and spray it over your tongue so you can get you can capture the sweet sour salt.
Right. So you everybody like you're hearing everybody going.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's heard that
exactly
noise.
How it sounds.
Quite a noise.
Yeah, with slurping it, sort of.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a great decaf, fair trade organic, which is a blend of different decafs from different countries.
Please, you have to send it. Everybody sent me coffee with caffeine, and I'm going.
You will taste this decaf. The decafs now are excellent. I mean, it's very difficult now. When we first started 15 years ago, the decafs were very poor, especially the organic decafs. But now, if we have a restaurant in the city that runs out of coffee, they brew the decaf, no one would know the difference because it tastes that good. So I'm going to send it to you.
Okay.
Do you want it whole bean or ground?
What am I better off? Does it make a difference?
Well, you know, of course,
well,
in the world had a grinder, we would be very,
you know,
very
what?
Happy.
Send it to me ground, because if it's ground, then I'll drink it more.
Faster. And what type of brewing system do you have? That's very important to identify what grind I will send you.
Oh, everything.
What do you do? You have a 12 cup? You have a Molina?
No. I don't even make coffee. But what I have every concoction available.
Uh-huh.
And I have this thing. This is so cool. It's like, And I have to call it like this portable French press, if you want to call it.
Okay.
And it's this thing I found, some company came up with. And you're like putting this over, you're putting in the like this little filter, and you're putting the coffee, and you're putting this, it's like this, looks like a tube, and you're putting this over a mug.
It's the AeroPress, yep.
Yes. So
yes,
you've seen it.
One. Yeah, we have one here.
Exactly.
It makes a very good cup of coffee.
Yes, it's so cool.
Yeah, it makes a great cup of coffee.
Yeah, and it's like, and that's what I've been using. Because it, you know, and then I go, I'll just make enough, and then after that I throw in the milk and the ice, and I have my ice coffee.
And you're happy.
Yes, and I'm a happy camper.
Absolutely.
But,
that's
yeah,
fine.
So basically that's what I'm using. Does that help?
That helps completely, and we will adjust the grind regarding that, and we'll send it out to you, and you'll let us know what you think.
That's great. Yeah, one of the, I was trying to get, because I understand there were two companies, one from United States and one from Canada that deal with decaffeinating.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get the one from United States to call in to talk about what exactly.
And that's fairly new. And I know they were at the event in New York that the Organic Coffee Collaborative put on with down in Union Cafe. I think it's called Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they're fairly new, which is great for us because we're getting our coffee decaffeinated up in Canada, which is Swiss water process, which is excellent.
Okay.
So that's great that we have something here locally now.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
And that's one of the great reasons why the quality is improved.
Well, I'm going to have to end this coffee talk.
Okay.
And by the way, you could tell your friend that I went to Christopher Columbus High School in the
Bronx.
You
did?
Yeah.
She went to the same school that Sonia Sotomayor went to. Cardinal Spellman.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I'm Jewish. Forget
no,
it.
No, she's Catholic and in charge of all the math that goes on over here, all the accounting.
Oh, okay. All right, so we're gonna end this coffee talk.
All right, well,
yes,
listen, it was nice.
And
for
please,
you to...
anybody who wants to send me decaffeinated,
we're gonna go ahead and do that. I'll send you a note.
I'll be a happy camper.
Happy to do so.
But in our case, we don't have a decaf yet, and it's part. It's because like since we do the roasting and manufacturing in Colombia, we still don't have down there available. Decaffeination process that is like Swiss water that is like chemical free.
Right.
So that's the main reason why we don't offer a decaf at this moment. But we're working on that, and hopefully we can have that available sometime soon.
I can usually slip in a cup of coffee with caffeine in the middle of the afternoon. In the evening,
okay.
I can't go to sleep. In the morning, it freaks me out. In the middle of the afternoon, I can deal with it.
I think in the afternoon, you got to go to organic green tea. I'm going to send you a little bit of our organic green tea.
Oh, cool.
So in the morning, you're going to have the decaf, fair trade organic Equator coffee. In the afternoon, you're going to have our Equator green tea.
Okay.
And you'll be wired till about 8:30 p.m. Then you
I
go for your
so.
Walk and off to bed.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, I'm so
right,
happy
well,
that the both of you called in.
Sure.
And we'll be into. I still, at some point, I have to write about all of this. At some point.
Well, is there a way that you can go on our Facebook page, facebook.com?
Oh, I don't want to.
God, you
don't I hate
do that.
Yeah.
But. You can just email us, and we'll give you all the information that you need.
Okay.
I'm going to email you right now to make sure I've got the correct address to send you coffee, though.
Okay, you got it.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
You're very welcome.
And Meryl, for a case, you can also find additional information. Like, I send you a brochure.
I have everybody's press kit and stuff like that.
You can always go to our website that is trueoriginorganics.com. Very easy, just the brand name, and you can find out, more information. And you have my email, so just feel free to email me with any questions or, anything that we can help you with. It's very good that you're, helping us create awareness about, organic coffee
among consumers.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, if you're going to, you got to, have the good stuff.
Yeah. All right, I'm emailing you right now.
Okay.
All right, Merle.
Have a great
so
evening.
Much. You too. Bye-bye.
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 Okay.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Well, okay, so we're going to be changing the whole subject, I think. Well, let's see. I have two callers. Who do I got here?
This is Matt Nielsen from Nielsen Mass Evenellas.
You know, you were supposed to call at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I was told to call at 6, which is what time it is for me.
That's what they said?
Yes. My PR rep told me to call at 6, and we're all in Chicago. So I apologize if I'm late.
Oh, because I have, all right, hold,
yeah,
hang
somebody
on.
Else on the line.
Well, I have somebody else. All right, open up so I can, I know, I got my star on the other line, don't I, huh?
Yes.
I know. Well, I'll tell you what, when I can't
well,
do
Merle,
this.
Well, Merle, we can always talk another time.
Yes. I want to talk with you another time because I really want to get into a whole thing. I'm going to have you call next week because I really want to get a whole thing in about the use of vanilla extracts and what's the difference, you know, when you're buying them and all kinds of stuff like that.
Exactly.
I had commented before that what I wound up doing, since we were just talking about coffee, is I wound up making coffee and putting the vanilla powder in it.
Excellent. Great great use of that.
Yeah. Okay.
And I apologize for the mix-up, and we'll certainly talk soon.
Okay. I'll email your PR person.
Yes, Gardy.
And we'll do this correctly.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, well, what can you do, huh? Okay, so anyway, we're going to talk about, I already spoke about the spa, about the place itself. So what I want to get into is exactly the treatment that I got, why you chose what you did, and, you know, and how it was all done. So tell us.
Okay.
Tell us who you are, folks.
Okay. My name is Rhonda Peltoff, and I work here at the spa at Norwich Inn. And I've been an esthetician here for 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And I had the pleasure of working on a marvelous guest. Her name is Merle. And her facial of choice suited for her skin was our antidote for fragile and sensitive skin.
Okay. That's because I break out.
Anyway, it's one of our exclusive facials here used to calm redness and sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I started on your skin with a gentle cleanser and a fruit enzyme peel with papaya. And then I steamed your skin and used warm towels that help soften and prepare the skin for extractions.
Now, when you use the warm towels, just so I understand,
okay.
When you're using the warm towels, you're taking off what you just put on?
I am. I'm removing
okay.
what I put on,
mm-hmm.
but also it actually helps to intensify and soften the skin even more.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it also feels really good.
Okay, continue.
Okay. Then I did some extractions, so I cleaned out the pores for you. You know, making sure everything is clean. And then what I did is I used an herbal blend of Arnica Montana flower extract. And that I massaged into your skin with cool facial globes. I use these cool globes. They have a solution that stays cold after running them under cold water. So the coolness against the skin takes away any redness or flushed warm skin begins to look more even.
Now, let me ask you a question. Arnica
sure.
Montana, I mean, I remember hearing that you should always carry that, and I guess they have it in like a...
They do.
Like these little sort of pill form,
yep.
And it's used for when you get a bruise.
A bruise, correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So this is good on your face, too.
It's good on your face, too. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It helps calm the redness in the skin, yes.
Okay. Continue.
Okay. And then I did an extensive face, neck, and shoulder, and head massage.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
That feels really good. And then along with heated warm mittens for the hands. I massaged
okay.
your hands with...
What'd you put on my... You put something on my hands.
Yes, I used our avocado lotion. It's our Norwich Spa avocado lotion, our body lotion.
Right.
And I put that on your hands first, then I wrapped them up and put them into warm, heated mittens. So it's very good for moisturizing the hands. It penetrates the cream into your skin.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. It also helps to increase circulation.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's get back to my face.
Okay. And then I also used a soothing peppermint clay mask that I put on for about 5 or 10 minutes. That also helps to cool down any redness, close the pores, make the skin feel really fresh. And then after I took that off, again, with warm towels, I put on an eye gel, an anti-puffiness eye gel that I used on you. It's great, super cooling. It has peptides in it that help to diminish any appearance of under-eye bags or puffiness. Really great. And then I used actually our Herbal Nova cream as a moisturizer for you. It was suited for your skin, for some dry skin. There's natural proteins in it. And humectants used for moisture, so it leaves the skin very hydrated and soft. And I also put on our famous Lip Plump treatment. It helps to fill in the lips, the lip contours. It has a special collagen extract in it to help plump up the lips, making them full.
Oh, that's why they felt like plump.
Yeah, they feel a little tingly after.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering what that was.
Yeah, so anyway, your skin was very clean and radiant when you left the room.
Yes, it was. Now it looks like shit again.
Oh, no. Well, you'll just have to come back here.
Yes. How? Which is, leads to a great question about
sure.
facials. How often can one get a facial?
A person can get a facial once a month.
Okay, no more than that, in other words.
It's not necessary, not necessary.
Okay, so like if some, yeah, okay, so once a month is good.
Once a month is great.
Okay, versus like if somebody was getting, let's say, a massage or a body wrap.
Well, you can have a massage once a month as well, and also a body wrap once a month as well, too.
Well, I don't mean like, can have, but in other words, like if somebody's getting, you don't want to do a facial every single week, right?
Not really. No, that can be a little bit too stimulating for the skin.
Right.
The only way maybe perhaps I would do that is if someone's skin was having a certain condition that it needed extra attention and I wanted to see them, you know, a little more frequent just to get their skin back in balance.
Uh-huh.
Then I might suggest that, but if that's not needed, then once a month is usually enough for most people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been at the spa at Norwich Inn, by the way?
I've been here for 20 years.
At that place?
Yes.
You mean the place has been around for 20 years?
Yeah.
Wow. And you must love it then.
I love it here.
Do you get to use the spa facilities, too?
Occasionally, yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, yes.
That's, you know, I think it's such a hoot. The thing I think is such a hoot, everybody walking around in their robes all over the place.
I know, isn't it?
I think, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Other than, I mean, like, people, they're not going to go in their robes to have dinner in the Kensington, right?
No, not for dinner, but for lunch you can go in your robes.
Right.
But not dinner.
And what about and the other one? I forgot the other restaurant, the pub.
The pub?
Yeah.
Whether you can go in your robe there, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, do people go in their robes there, like, for dinner or just no?
No.
Okay. So people, that's the only thing kind
yeah,
of
just for lunch usually. You can go into your
and I notice breakfast people coming
and
in.
And breakfast too.
And breakfast. Okay. That's
right.
I guess if you're gonna bother to put your robe on and I mean I when you're getting somebody coming for a facial, mm-hmm. do they usually wind up being there for more than just a facial?
Yes, they do. Usually they're coming for a massage or another treatment.
Uh-huh.
Mhm. Most of the time, just coming here to relax.
Uh-huh. And do you find that there will be enough, I don't say enough people, there'll be a lot of people just coming up for the day and having a treatment rather than, stay the night?
We get a lot of day guests here, yes.
And I'm just curious, I don't want to make an assumption that the day guests are all from the area?
No, actually, we are located in Norwich, Connecticut, as you know, halfway between New York and Boston. So we get a lot of people from New York and Boston.
So people will just come up, just say, I think I'm going to spend the day at the spa and get a, treatment or whatever, and then go home.
Some do, actually. Some do.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Some do, definitely.
Because you really, you can, spend the day there. There's a lot of combination of relaxation and getting drunk on the wine and chowing down on the scones.
Right, right. There's a lot to keep one busy here, yes.
Yeah, people, I guess, could take classes as well. Is there a class or anything where you're teaching about the...
Yes, we have Spa 101, actually. That's daily at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And a person is there, promoting some of the spa treatments and spa products, explaining what's happening down here so that someone can, sign up for a treatment or become familiar with the treatments.
Do you ever get to talk about, in the class? Do you ever...
Oh, yes, I've done that before, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
Do you find, just curious, that in having this Spa 101, do you find that people will, say, wow, I didn't think I was going to do that, but that's a good idea, so I think I will do it?
Yes, actually, we do. Yeah, they say, wow, that sounds great. I'm going to give it a try.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So it actually works out nice.
What do you find is the most popular facial that people?
Oh, our most popular facial is our anti-aging by far. Everyone wants that.
And why? What's involved particular in that makes it different from the one that I got?
Okay, well, it's using a peptide treatment.
Uh-huh.
That is applied to the skin to plump up the skin, to plump up fine lines, make the skin firm and radiant afterwards. So it's actually a strong, peptide serum that's used
now,
on the skin.
So let's just say, because of, the condition of my face,
mm-hmm.
Of my skin.
Sure.
Would you not recommend that I had that?
No, you can probably have that one, but currently your skin, you were very flushed and a little red and sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So the one that we chose for you, I thought was appropriate for that time.
Right.
The skin is always changing, so we address the skin's needs at the time that, I look at the skin.
Okay, so it's not so you'll make a suggestion.
Oh, absolutely. Next time, if I felt somebody needed this or that, I would make a suggestion of what would be best for them.
So in other words, let's say if I chose a different facial, you might say to me, no, I don't think that would be good for your skin right now because blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Let's do this instead.
Right, yes.
Yeah, I know you're saying to me, yeah, Merle, I know you want to look 20 years younger, but right now you need to get rid of that redness and the blotches right now. You're just so... forget about the, how you look in terms of age. Let's deal with, you know, like you're breaking out right now, and, you know, what did I hear? That I used to hear a joke that they're making a new face cream. A face cream that makes you look young. It gives you acne.
Yeah.
You get it? They use it. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, I also wanted to mention that our spa just won the Yankee Magazine Editor's Choice Award for Best Campering in Connecticut this year. Yes, I wanted to mention.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
That's really great.
It is great.
So just, and I kind of said this, but I want to make sure. So let's just say somebody's coming up for the day. I think, like, it costs, like, about $20 just to use the whole spa facilities.
Correct.
But they also have to book either a treatment or a class. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. And but if they're staying the night, it includes the use of the spa facilities. You don't have to get a treatment necessarily, but that includes dinner and breakfast.
Correct.
Okay. So you might as well throw in a treatment while you're there.
Absolutely. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, I know you can, like, just go. I mean, if you're going, let's say you're going up with a group of friends, you may not, you know, some might want a treatment, but you all can, like, hang out in the spa together and schmooze.
Right.
Except in the quiet room.
Right, except in the quiet room.
There you have to use sign language.
Right.
And you can't go in there if you're waiting for a treatment, because nobody can go in and yell out, Merle, you're ready for a treatment. I mean, you know, they can't go in. And, you know, you can't, like, make up a sign.
No, the quiet room is very sacred.
Yeah, you can't say, Merle, it's your time for a treatment. You can't just walk in and
no,
do that. You're just
no.
Like, too bad, you know. and besides, you go in there, you're probably not off and miss your treatment.
Right, it happens a lot.
I'm going to be writing, it would be interesting, I'm going to be writing about a couple, a same-sex couple coming up there on September 5th.
Okay.
And I'm like kind of asking, of course, they're probably not making the decision now, like what, are they going to get a treatment? What treatment are they interested in, or what will they do? It'll be interesting. I'll be writing about getting it completed right after the wedding.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see what they've chosen to do while they're there, and not only what they've chosen to do, but the guests. I think there's going to be about a total of 30 people.
Okay.
At this event, so it'll be interesting to see if the guests, any of the guests, have said, "Oh, well, you know what? Let me get a facial while I'm here," you know, that kind of a thing. So. We'll get the whole lowdown, so that'll be kind of good. Well, I appreciate that you called in. Is there anything else you want to add?
Actually, if there's any answers, questions you need to ask, people can go to our website, thespa@norwichinn.com, or call 1-800-ASK-4-SPA.
Ask for spa.
Absolutely. Ask for spa.
Okay. And, because I know I had to, as I'm sitting and writing these articles, I'm going, I have another question.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Now I have another question.
Yeah. Feel free to call.
And I did. Oh, Merle, it's you again. Now what? You just make a list of all your damn questions and ask them all one at a time. No, they didn't really do
Well,
that.
I'm so glad you enjoyed your time here at the spot.
I
did. Again, Merle.
I really did. And again, thanks for sharing all the stuff with us.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right. So hopefully I'm going to make my way back there and... I think next week in the Queens Times, I'm going to have an article about the spa at Norwich Inn.
Okay, great. I look forward to seeing you again.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to try to get another treatment. I'm sorry, Barbara. I forgot to tell you that I changed the show. Did it from 6 to 7:30, and you probably missed the one I did last week. I don't know what can I say. And oh, good. Okay. Well, I guess. Okay, I just got your email. Okay. This is really cool. Okay, I'm going to. Barbara knows what the fuck I'm talking about when I say this. That I'm going to book the airline, and take care of this. Good. This will be lots of fun. And if I remember, I'll bring your sweatshirt too. I'll try to remember that. But anyway, okay. So I got 4 minutes to go. And I did enough chatting, and so I'm just going to end a little bit early. And next week, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Oh, no, I have some things. Oh, I know. I think next week I have Zoe Lewis, jazz musician, calling in. And I'm going to see if I can get, my friend Matt Nielsen will call in and we can talk about the vanilla. And I'm going to see if I can get an old friend of mine, Howie Elson, to call in and do some of his routines on being a dentist. So until next week. Everybody have a great day, evening, or whatever the heck you're having. And stay well. I mean, I will certainly try my best.